503, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. Yeah, it is. It's a beautiful day. Boy, I just had to venture out of the former Plaque Shack. I haven't come up with a new name for it. I apologize. I would spend a lot of time on that, but I'm spending a lot of time on other stuff. I got other stuff I'm doing, can I tell you? But all of that being said, it's gorgeous. No, I wouldn't slip up and say the, it's Friday Eve is what it is. But no, the weather is great. I'm just here to tell you that if you get the opportunity, please, please go and enjoy it. Sit out on your Arkadeck deck and gaze at your yard, figure out what your backyard dream is, and reach out to Spencer Monroe and look to that side of your yard where you should have a picture-perfect shed and think, huh, I really should call Ryan over at picture-perfect sheds. You know, I'm just saying, those are things that you might want to do. All right, we've got my buddy Dr. Keith Amblo is going to join us at 5:33. And, Jerm, you said that Keith wanted to chat about a couple of things we don't normally talk about. Okay. And you also said you sent it to me, and I don't see it. So if you would resend whatever it was that the good doctor wanted to chat about, I would appreciate it. Oh, and we're coming up on the 12-hour anniversary of Jeremy being in place at the Radio Factory. Yeah. Kid you not. He's been there since 5:30 this morning, and today actually is National Relaxation Day. How do I know that today is National Relaxation Day? Because I got an email from Tommy Bahama reminding me that today would be a good day to relax and buy more stuff from Tommy Bahama. So poor Jerm has been working over it. You're not doing it again tomorrow, are you? No. You need to take a nap or something. 833-804-1140. That is our Chronic Care of Richmond text line. 833-804-1140. Okay. There is some serious stuff that we have got to deal with, and I do want to try and get through all of it. We'll remind you that over in England, the United Kingdom, remember them? Our former British overlords. They do not have freedom of speech. They do not have a First Amendment. They allude to it, but every right that you might have in the United Kingdom, given to you not by God, but by the government of the United Kingdom, which means that the government of the United Kingdom can take them away any damn time they want. And they're in the process of doing that. The other day we had a bunch of sound from British police saying, we are monitoring social media. And we're going to lock people up if they're saying things we don't like. And I got so much pushback from people who are trying to convince me that there's just nothing at all to it. Oh, you're just trying to fan the flames and flame the fans. And well, here, we just had somebody arrested in the United Kingdom because on the interwebs, they had posted, quote, anti-establishment rhetoric. Wayne O'Rourke is the guy's name. He appeared in magistrate's court. He did not enter a plea. He will appear at the Crown Court tomorrow. 40 years old, and he has been arrested because he posted, and I quote here, anti-establishment rhetoric. What does that mean? Well, it means, apparently, that he was against something that the establishment was in favor of. Now, you would think that that would not be something you could be arrested for. Well, you couldn't be arrested for that in the United States, right? Because we have a First Amendment that protects speech with which we disagree. Although Kamala Harris's running mate, that Tim Walz, says otherwise.
I think we need to push back on this. There's no guarantee to free speech on misinformation or hate speech, and especially around our democracy.
Actually, there is. Actually, sir, while you were busy running from combat, many of us were paying attention to this, and we learned that the First Amendment actually protects speech with which we disagree, or speech that we might term disinformation or misinformation. Now, I know it pains you because you are a Marxist, and as a good, upstanding Marxist, you don't want people to speak freely. You don't want people to think freely. But in fact, we in the United States have protections. The American Society of Plastic Surgeons is now dialing back their support for genital mutilation. Oh, otherwise known as, quote, gender-affirming care. Here's what is going on, and here's what's prompted the 11,000 members of the American Society of Plastic Surgeons start weighing in on this. They are being sued by people who are, quote, detransitioning. So these terrible people performed these castrations, mastectomies, other sorts of mutilation upon children because the child at age 8 said, oh, well, I know I look like a boy, but I'm really a girl, so take that off. Or the 12-year-old girl who said, well, I think I'm really a boy, so take these off. So they did. And now that those children have aged a couple of years, guess what's happened? Many of them have said, I'm not really something else. I'm just me. And I had questions, but God, you amputated stuff that I might need now. So how do we deal with that issue in the United States? We sue. And many members now of the American Society of Plastic Surgeons are facing lawsuits as a result of this, and it has forced them to go back and re-examine all of this. Wow. Yeah. Again, the organization that represents about 11,000 members in the United States and Canada told a reporter recently, quote, they have not endorsed any organization's practice recommendations for the treatment of adolescents with gender dysphoria. So what they're talking about, you would think, would be the so-called World Professional Association of Transgender Health. Anyone who signs on to the World Professional Association of Transgender Health will see that it is, to put it mildly, a radical organization, but is also scandal-plagued. The American Society of Plastic Surgery also says, and I'm going to quote here, there is considerable uncertainty as to the long-term efficacy for the use of chest and genital surgical interventions. The existing evidence base is low quality. Wow. Well, I don't know. Can you get a refund? I guess you can. I guess you can get your money back. You just can't get your moneymaker back. That's the way that works. Putting down a rabid dog. Who said that and why? A woman by the name of Christine Page. I didn't know who she was either until I saw the headline, Putting Down a Rabid Dog. She's a member of a town board in New York. And she posted on, was it Facebook? Let me see. I think it was Facebook. She posted the following. Yeah, quote. I should point out the time frame. President Trump was shot. Remember that? I mean, I know where they're scrubbing it, but yeah, you and I watched it. He was shot. And she wrote on Facebook, she put a post up about the attempted assassination. Quote, I have seen no credible proof that he's a human being. Maybe you know something we don't. To me, it would be akin to putting down a rabid dog. That's a local town official in New York talking about the attempted assassination of President Donald Trump. Isn't that disgusting? It's absolutely vile. But there it is. There it is. Yeah. What else would you like to chat about? You want to talk about the fact that Kamala Harris is quite literally the reason that taxes are now imposed on tips? She cast the deciding vote on that. And she's the one who voted for, what, 81,000 new IRS agents who were specifically going after people who worked for a living, including a large chunk of people who have tip income. Yeah. So, I mean, I know we're really, really busy right now rewriting history. I know we're really busy right now scrubbing history. But for those of us who have a memory, I mean, maybe it's a little bit like being the guy from Pepperidge Farm, right? Because I remember. I know what they've done. I know when they've done it. And I am going to continue reminding you of it for as long as possible. No guarantees on that, but for as long as possible. It's very twisted. Chronic Care of Richmond text line 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Oh, how can I forget Joe Biden? You remember him, our presidential meat puppet. We thought he was acting as president, and apparently somebody else is acting as president. But he was asked about inflation, which he and Kamala Harris created. What did he say to a reporter? Cut number three.
U.S. Inflation, Mr. President.
Yes, yes, yes. I told you we're going to have a soft landing. We're going to have a soft landing. My policies are working. Start writing that way, okay?
And, Mr. President,
anyway, thank you
so much. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Let's start writing that way. A soft landing. Food prices are up 25% plus since this nitwit has held the title of President of the United States. You can't afford to feed your family anymore. Yeah, well, absolutely. Here comes the soft landing. You'll be landing on big piles of money that used to be worth something, but with hyperinflation, you just have to take a big wheelbarrow full of them down to the supermarket. What could possibly go wrong? 515, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. Our forecast for the personal injury attorneys of Cravens and Knoll Weather Center. I'm telling you, another good night to open the windows. Overnight lows 63, couple of clouds here and there tomorrow. TGI Friday, mostly sunny, highs of 89. Right now, 87 at Richmond's News Weather and Traffic Station, News Radio WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. I do have some bad news to report. No, I do. Tonight is the last sundown, which will occur after 8 p.m. in Richmond until May the 2nd, 2025. Ah! All right, a couple of things that we have been talking about for quite a while include safety in schools, right? That's like six of the issues that we have chatted about over the years. NBC, well, NBC is filled with leftists. Take a listen to cut number two.
As kids and teachers head back to school in Tennessee, a new law allows teachers and staff to possess and carry a firearm on school grounds. Josh Arwood teaches sixth grade history in Greene County in rural eastern Tennessee. He wishes his district would allow him to carry his gun into the classroom.
If they were to allow it, I would be fine with doing it.
You would sign up to carry?
Mm-hmm.
And what would that look like for you?
It would be concealed at all times.
He says he'd be ready to confront a shooter to save his students.
What if somebody came into my classroom? What if somebody came into my school meaning harm to them? Yeah. I want to feel like I did everything I could to protect them.
We sat down with Josh alongside Jennifer Orth, who teaches fifth grade science and social studies in Nashville.
Do you think that teachers should be armed?
No, I don't. I'm just afraid the likelihood of someone being hurt accidentally is greater than the likelihood that any teacher is going to be able to prevent a school shooting. People are not walking into schools with handguns. People are walking into schools with AR-15s. And a handgun against an AR-15 is useless.
And to you, Josh, do you worry if that weapon is larger than what you've got, do you worry that you won't be able to do any good?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be able to do any good if I didn't have a weapon. You know, at least having something gives me some chance.
I just don't think that an environment that is full of children needs to be full of more guns, just in general.
Under the new law, teachers would need to pass background checks, undergo 40 hours of training, and would be personally liable if something went wrong. Anyone armed must conceal their weapon, and no one would know which staff members were armed, not even parents.
Josh has been a teacher for 18 years, Jennifer for 11, and guys, they both say their jobs have gotten harder. Jennifer said to me, when I walk into a new classroom, the first thing I do is think about where would I put the kids in the event of a shooting. And by the way, Jennifer keeps a baseball bat in her classroom.
Oh, yeah. Because I'll tell you, that baseball bat against the AR-15 she's already afraid of, that's going to do a great job, don't you think? Why do we let stupid people weigh in on issues they don't know jack diddly squat about? Honest to God. You know what? Don't ask me to explain the ground rule double or how you split an atom. I couldn't give you any insights on either one of those things. And if you don't know anything about firearms, please, I don't give a crap about your opinion when it comes to firearms. That's all. I'm sure you're a lovely woman. I'm sure you're a great teacher and a nice person, and it would be wonderful to have you, I was going to say as a neighbor, but we already know which house they're going to be breaking into. So now, how do you say it nicely? Sit down and shut up. Or, no, wait a minute, I have another option. Shut up and sit down. But really, those are your two options. It's A or B. Sit down and shut up is A. B is shut up and sit down and shut up. No, shut up and sit. I'm taking option C. All of the above. Please. What nonsense. Absolute garbage. Feel free to shoot me a text, by the way. Chronic Care of Richmond text line 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140, 526, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. It is Friday Eve. Yep, it sure is, and it is beautiful. About 85 degrees, so it's toasty, but the humidity is low. Got an opportunity. Tonight's the night to do it. What did I tell you? Tonight is going to be the last sundown after 8 p.m. in our area until next year. Wow. Yeah, crazy, isn't it? But what can I tell you? Hey, we got our old buddy Bill O'Reilly is going to be dropping by. I don't know if it's next week or the week after. It's been a while since O'Reilly's been here. Looking forward to getting him back on. Dr. Dave Bratt is going to be here tomorrow. And tomorrow we are also expecting Kamala Harris, the Vice President of the United States, to announce that she would like to have government-imposed price controls on food. Just like Venezuela does. And you see that besides price controls, what does Venezuela have? A lot of people starving to death, right? Perhaps the two are somehow tangentially connected. You think? Maybe? Just a thought. It's like the old five-year plan that the Soviet Union used to do. And that worked out really, really well for them. So, I mean, really, what could possibly go wrong? We have, as we do on each and every Friday Eve, the presence. We are graced by the presence of my buddy, Dr. Keith Abloh, and we talk about so many different things when Keith drops by. Some of it is political, some of it is lifestyle, some of it is how Keith continues to work very, very, very hard to improve people's lives, and that's one of the things I want to talk a little bit about today, and I don't understand all of it, so it's one of the reasons we got Keith here. Keith, thanks for being here, man.
Hey, man. Good to be here. The Katz and Keith Show.
Yes, sir. It is always good to have you here. And I love the fact, I remind everybody, you are a true Renaissance man. You can and do talk about any issue at any point. And you also entertain people. You've got some great nonfiction that you've written and some great fiction that you've written. So, hey, what can I tell you? The status of this program is elevated every time you visit.
Yeah, well, I do what I can. My parents insist they're still talking about my bar mitzvah back in Swampscott, Mass, on the North Shore, where I entertained people when I was 13. You know, they can't stop. Yeah, my parents are my biggest fans, but they're a little irrational.
Well, irrational, quelling, I don't know. You call, you know, quelling. Tomato, tomato, right?
Indeed.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I got a rescue dog from Texas, so I have this new rescue dog. And
yes.
I decided one thing I could do is expose it to my mother, and it would become a veterinarian. Because, like, anyone who is exposed to my mother becomes a doctor. So I think the dog could become a veterinarian.
I love it. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the dog before we talk about some other stuff, because you started posting the photos of this absolutely beautiful canine. Tell everybody, what brought you to the point where you said, that's it, I've got to have a furry friend?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things, Jeff, were your posts of your dog, which must be some kind of terrier, right? Does your dog have a little terrier?
Yeah, she's, I think she's primarily some sort of chihuahua, but clearly there's terrier there because it's got the wiry hair, and she's just pixie. What can I tell you? She's,
well, there you go.
Yeah.
She's scruffy.
She is
right?
scruffy.
She's scruffy. And I was thinking, like, if I could get a scruffy dog like that, and then I was on Facebook, I saw this dog up for adoption, and I was like, you know what? That's a scruffy dog. That's sort of like Jeff's dog.
Yeah.
And you know, I lobbied that I'd be okay. I wouldn't, you know, fail as a foster or, no, adoptive parent.
Right.
And eventually I prevailed, and a van brought her to Connecticut because Massachusetts, you know, they don't let in adopted dogs, you know, just illegal immigrants.
Right. Yeah. I mean, all the space is taken with illegal aliens. There's no room for dogs.
Exactly. So, you know, I picked her up, and we've been together since.
I love it. Well, it is a fine-looking dog that is now residing there in your company, and I can guarantee the dog that she will be well-served, and I got a sneaky suspicion you're going to be very happy with her as well.
She's better for me than I am for her. She's great. She's awesome.
Sweet. I love it. All right. Can we take a week away from some of the political stuff? Is that cool with you?
Absolutely.
All right. So it's sort of kind of away from political, but it is talking about regulation, government, federal government sort of stuff, because you have been involved in something, and I'm not exactly clear on what it is, and that's why I just thought, well, we got to have you talk about this. Stuff relating to cardiac vessels, right? I had my... my intro biology course, that's it. I didn't go any further. My mother covered the mirrors knowing that I wouldn't be a doctor, so I don't understand this. But you've been involved in it. So explain to everybody, what's going on? What sort of research are you doing these days?
Well, listen, so I saw research online for a product called Cavidex. And it's a company that was founded by a guy named Kyle Hodgetts. It's an Australian company, and what it is it's an oligosaccharide called Cavidex. The company's called Chlorum, but Cavidex is a ring. It's a ring-like structure, and according to the founder, it cured him of heart disease. It's well known that these molecules can go around vessels and trap cholesterol.
Okay.
Now, the theory is that it can even strip cholesterol out of plaque that has accumulated in cardiac vessels. Now, I know the FDA is going to want innumerable double-blind studies and millions upon millions of dollars spent on this molecule. The trouble is, this molecule isn't patentable. It's essentially a sugar molecule. It's an oligosaccharide ring. Inside the ring, it's called lipophilic. It loves fat.
Okay.
And so this ring presumably can travel around the bloodstream and collect dangerous fat, even from the walls of vessels, supposedly. And there are animal studies to back this up. And, of course, the founder...
Right.
Says he was given only a little while to live. His cholesterol was like five times normal.
Oh.
And that this cured him. Now, I guess my question is for Cavidex.
Right.
When you're selling it, which they are, and the FDA is, you know, interested in lowering the boom, What do we do? Should there be some sort of mechanism where a potentially miraculous therapeutic is voted up or down by folks who want to use it? I mean, this is not a medicine. It's not something that's prescribed. I can see why the government would say, man, you know, we really want to know, have you dotted your I's and crossed your T's? But with cardiovascular disease being essentially the biggest killer of humans,
right?
If there's a ring sugar that can go around and collect dangerous plaque from your body and free up your memory potentially, your heart, I mean, because your carotid arteries in your neck, they have plaque too.
Right.
So the implications are potentially transformational. Who's going to champion this? No company's going to spend $10 million to get an FDA indication. It's sort of like when lithium came on the scene, and it helped so many people with bipolar disorder, but it took forever because lithium's, you know, an element. It can't be patented. So there was no company. So what do we do? That's my question. What do we do? And so I'm trying to help get the word out, sort of as a query almost.
Yeah.
Should there be some sort of road where we can fast track an incredibly promising treatment that pharma won't develop, that big pharma won't develop, because big pharma owns the world? But how about, like, if you're dying or if you love someone who has horrible heart disease?
Yeah.
The truth is most doctors, I bet, would say, hey, try this. But, you know, try to get, you know, the FDA to say that anybody can, and you got a big fight on your hands.
So let me ask you this, and I want to remind everybody, Dr. Keith Ablo is joining us, and we talk about any number of things, and this is just something that's fascinating. I was listening to a radio program this morning, Keith, where there was a doctor, a medical doctor, who said, well, when I draw blood, I can tell you basically what you had for lunch, because I can see the fat in the blood when I draw it. I was blown away. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it was that clear. And I also learned just moments ago a new term, lipophilic, which apparently describes me, because I do love fat.
There you go.
But I'm curious. You raise these issues and you say, okay, we've got the FDA over here and we're all led to believe, well, they're looking out for us. They want us to be healthy and safe and secure and whatever the product is. But if this thing or lithium, like you referenced, is not actually something a company can get a patent on, does it just go by the wayside? I mean, and that's such a huge question. Anybody addressing that, or you're like the first one out of the gate on this?
Well, I think people have, you know, bemoaned the fact that it takes some things forever to come to fruition because there isn't an industry championing it. In this case, you got this guy, Kyle Hodgetts, who has founded the company. He's like, you know, a heavyweight fighter.
Okay.
He's not going to roll over, but man, that could take quite a toll on him if he has to fight an entity like the FDA. And again, I'm not impugning the FDA. I'm saying if you've got something like Cavidex, and if people want to raise their hands and say, all right, so I do want to hear your story. And that's kind of the beef is, well, are you allowed to tell people what it did for you? Or are you allowed to sort of make a claim?
Right.
Well, you know, should there be some kind of asterisk, maybe of a special color, that says this has not only not been evaluated by the FDA, but the FDA has concerns. Would that be okay? Something so that people could then say, hey, I'm ordering it, which they are.
Right.
They're doing that.
Yeah.
But they may or may not be able to do that forever. And people have been saying, hey, I'm like cured, which is weird.
It's
and wonderful.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. Is it like the vitamin world where they've got those disclaimers that say, hey, we're not making any claims and this is not evaluated by Bill or Joe or Harry, and you know, you take your chances or you roll the dice or whatever?
Well, it's exactly like that. So in many ways, so curcumin, for instance, think about curcumin is a derivative of the Indian spice turmeric.
Yep.
There are studies comparing curcumin to Prozac, where curcumin does pretty well compared to Prozac for major depression. But because it's naturally occurring, there's no company that's going to do all the double-blind studies, take it through all the machinations that you'd have to, and then patent the use of curcumin in major depression. Hence,
right,
you can't have a bottle that says, take this for major depression. But, I mean, yeah, okay, but then we're sort of dancing around some data,
yep,
that's very positive, and yep. What if folks wanted to say, well, you should tell me that story. I want to know that. I'm having trouble, and they say it's this illness, and I want to know, but all right, I'll take the purple asterisk or whatever it might be.
Right.
That would alert you. The FDA has, you know, is not sanctioning this in a stronger way, maybe, than, hey, little print that says it hasn't been evaluated.
I think this is a huge story, Keith. I'll tell you what I want to do, I want to send people over to KeithAblow.com. I haven't checked yet, so I don't know if you've written anything on it yet, but I'm thinking, knowing you.
Not yet, but I will.
Okay.
Because I'm really intrigued. Like, what do you do in a situation like this? What
right.
do you do?
Right.
Because you know what you would do for your grandfather. You know what you would do for yourself. I think most people do. It doesn't seem to be harmful to anyone. So. Yeah. What do we do as a culture?
There's the question. Well, I'll tell you what. I want people to head on over to KeithAblow.com, and take a look at this. This is, I would say, the beginning of this discussion. We'll talk more about it. Keith is with us, thank God, every single week. We talk about a million different things, and Keith obviously is all about, he's a man of science. He's got many, many talents that he brings to the table, and helping people live better lives is something he's devoted his entire life to. So if you would, take a look, KeithAblow.com. It is 546, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Did I hear that right from California Psychics? Looking for love sucks. That's from California Psychics. I have no idea if Nebraska Psychics would have exactly the same point of view. Looking for love sucks. Well, I don't know. I found it, right? I'm celebrating 25 years of wedded bliss. Isn't that always the question, though? So you're married 25 years. You're celebrating your 25th anniversary. How long have you been happily married? Boy, if those numbers don't jibe correctly, man, you are in a world of hurt. So, you know, do the math. Look, I'm not a numbers guy, as you know, but even I know you got to make those two numbers pretty much the same. Tomorrow morning, my friend John Reed will be here, and I will do my best to be there at 6 a.m. I really will, because I love listening to John's show. My buddy here, Germ, is doing double duty. God bless him. Jeremy, get a nap. Please get a nap. He's a good man, and he's doing great work. I want you to enjoy the evening. It's a beautiful evening. God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA.